Welcome to Life Lessons in Unexpected Places. The world is full of teachers if you know how to look and listen. With Asha Nayaswamy, one of the spiritual directors of Ananda Palo Alto and a founding member of Ananda Worldwide. If you enjoy this content and are inspired by the teachings of Paramahansa Yogananda and his disciple Swami Kriyananda, find Asha on YouTube, Facebook, Patreon, all podcast directories, and her website, ashajoy.org.
Tune your mental radio. God, my guru used to say, is like a radio station. His programs are broadcast on the wavelength of superconsciousness. Now, I'm of an age, I was born in 1947, where radios were a big part of my growing up. And I realize now that there's a whole group of millennials who barely have any idea even what a radio is. And in fact, just as a by the way, this is being offered as a podcast. When people started first talking to me about podcasts, I had to go through this long thing because they were acting as if podcast was like some big new thing. And I finally said, you mean radio? That's what you're really talking about. And then I also tested out the word audio recording. That's what we're working with here. And finally, we agreed that indeed that's what a podcast was. But it was available on demand, as opposed to radio programs, which would be scheduled and not available on demand. And also the mechanism for getting a podcast, which is if that's how you're doing it, you click, 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 click. There isn't this reality that there was with a radio where you had to tune it in. Maybe some people still have ham radios or something like this. I don't know the right vocabulary to describe what the technical is. So I'm sure all of you have seen movies of children who lived in the 50s or pictures of Franklin Delano Roosevelt when he was giving his fireside chats during his long period of time in the presidency, and the whole family would gather in the living room around this huge console, and then somebody would turn the dial. You turn it on and then you would spin the dial and the dial would move across like this. I had one of those growing up. It was a very fine piece of furniture, even as a child, without it having any vintage quality. I loved it. It had this big round knob on it, and then all across of the whole thing, which was almost 2 feet wide, at least a foot and a half. And there was this clear glass, and there were all these numbers and all these lines, and you'd spin that dial, and this red line would move across all those different numbers. And when it was turned on, as you move that dial across, you would just suddenly touch into all these different worlds. Here there would be a sports thing going on. Here there'd be broadcasting a symphony. Here there'd be a newscaster. Here there'd be some commentator. Maybe here somebody's talking to children or giving a speech about God or not about God, you know, whatever it might be. And what was so fascinating to me, even as a child when I think about it, is that it was all in the room, because all that happened was I would turn on this machine, get the electricity running, and then I would move this knob. And depending where the knob was, well, I'll use the word portal because I know that's a word people use, but this portal would open and suddenly I would be part of some other world. I suppose much of radio happened in real time. I'm sure there were pre-recorded programs, but much of radio happened in real time. So when I'm listening to somebody sing, the concert is going on in Carnegie Hall or something and being broadcast, or there's a commentator in a studio and he's reading into a microphone. He's reading into the microphone. I've opened the channel to hear him, and all of a sudden he and I are in a link. And all I have to do is turn that big knob and he disappears. Of course, he doesn't stop broadcasting. I just stop receiving because I'm no longer in tune. And we talked about it then, and it's so funny to me that I have to explain all of this, but I've realized that I had to explain it because it's a very visceral experience to turn that dial. Even in car radios, at a certain point, you used to be able to turn the dial. Now you mostly push buttons. Everything has gone into a different thing. But the fact, and this is the important fact that is relevant here also, is it's always happening. And the variable is not whether it's happening. The variable is whether I attune to the channel on which it's happening and listen. And therefore, it's entirely up to me. Now let's go to the image that Swami is using is of God. Okay, when any definition of God has him always there, has her always there. It's not like God works from Monday to Friday and then he's just not there anymore. And God doesn't sleep, there's no day and night, there's no vacation time. It's nothing like that. My favorite definition of God is the, other words in my mind. Yes, my favorite definition of God is the Sanskrit Sat Chit Ananda. Ever existing, ever conscious, ever new bliss is what it is. Ever existing, ever conscious, ever new bliss. Therefore, it's eternal. We could always be aware of it. It's fully aware and it's blissful. So it's always there. And let's imagine using the radio analogy. Let's just imagine there's a radio station and 24 hours a day it's broadcasting. It's broadcasting a program, whatever that program might be. So there's never a time, which was true of most radio stations, there was never a time when it wasn't happening. There was only my choice as to whether I listened to it or not. So God is always broadcasting. And what is God broadcasting? He's broadcasting eternal life, eternal awareness, eternal bliss. Now, am I in a state of full awareness at all times? Am I feeling that ever new joy? Am I fully awake and aware? And do I realize that my consciousness expands beyond the boundaries of birth and death? Am I receiving that radio station? Or am I listening to the fact of that everybody looks at me and sees me, first of all, that I have a gender, then that I have a body, that I have a culture, that I will have a death. I'm closer to the end of my life than I am to the beginning. I find that thought rather delightful, I have to add. I don't imagine that it's coming tomorrow. But, you know, a decade or so, given where I am right now, maybe I'll have 15 years. I'm perfectly comfortable with that. None of that. Death to me is just, it's just one of those things that we all have to go through. So it seems impractical to me to have enormous amount of anxiety about it. I hope when my moment comes, I'm as easy and free as about it as I'm feeling as I talk about it now. But the end point to all of it is, you know, what am I listening to? And what we also understand, you see, is that where our experience of life happens primarily is inside our own consciousness. Events happen, you know, when I'm with a great many friends, then when I'm having one kind of experience, if I'm on a retreat in seclusion, I'm having another kind of experience. If I'm in the middle of San Francisco, I'm having that experience. If I were out with the giant redwoods, you know, nestled into one of the crevices of its huge trunk, I'm having a different kind of experience. But there is one consistent factor in all those experiences, which is that I am present. I am present, and whatever the experience is, it's really happening inside of me. And if I'm, for example, nowadays, if I have my device on and I have the earplugs in. I when I was traveling once, I experimented with this. I decided I didn't like this, but I put some of Swami Kriyananda. He's written some beautiful music. He's written a great deal of beautiful music, which I love to listen to. So I had my device, my phone, and I just put earplugs in and I walked through airports and listening to the music. And so I was standing in the airports, but I was totally somewhere else. I was just simply not tuning into it. In truth, I ended up not liking it that much. I felt too separated from the moment. It didn't suit me, at least not on that journey. So I preferred to sort of be more in the moment than be in another world. But I was standing there. I was standing there with everyone else, and I was having 100% different experience than they were having. And where was that experience taking place? Inside my head. I mean, as a fact, after 50 years of meditating and spiritual work and living in ashrams and all the things that I've done, I was joking with one of my friends that I have many peers who have lived the same life that I've lived also. Ananda is a very was a worldwide organization. Many of us started together in our early 20s, in the early 70s, and we're still here and we're still doing it. And we're listening to a very different broadcast than the majority of people on the planet are listening to. It's just, you can make a value judgment if you want to. You don't have to. All I'm saying is we're listening to a very different broadcast. We're not listening to the broadcast of materialism and selfishness and atheism and nobody's in charge and we have to always be afraid because the politicians run the world and, oh my gosh, what if the wrong one gets in and. All of which is true. I can hear those broadcasts very easily and I don't tune them out. I don't walk around with earplugs in just listening to Swami's music. I pay attention. I live here. I'm part of a large organization. I have responsibilities. I need to know what's going on. I pay enough attention so that I understand what's going on and I can make the best decisions I can make in the context in which I live. But the real broadcast that I'm listening to is the power and presence of God and the realization that there's a cosmic, a benign, blissful cosmic intelligence that is running this show. This is the year 2020. This is being recorded. For those of you who've lived through it, you'll understand what I mean. Back last spring, for me, in a matter of a day or two, just the whole world was turned upside down. Just the whole world. I was right in the middle of this project, big project I was doing with the school that I was working with, the Ananda School that we have here. From Friday to Monday, school was closed. Everything finished. It was really literally like, you were just like in the middle of a step. You're running along and you're in the middle of the step and then all of a sudden there's no ground in front of you. The whole world turned upside down. And it's been pretty disrupted for these 7, 8, 9 months, whatever we're up to now. And one of my friends remarked, no human being could do this. And no, microscopic parasite virus could do this either. Only God has the power to do this. Only the great masters who really run this world, Babaji and Christ and other of the great masters, only that kind of power can direct human destiny like this. That's a very different broadcast. It doesn't mean that the politicians and the doctors and the news commentators and we all are playing a part. It's really, we're on the stage, we have the lines, we're playing the part, we're picking up the props. All of that is really happening, but there's a director. The director wrote it, the director knows where it's going, the director's guiding us. Is that the broadcast we listen to? Or do we just think that on the stage is the real thing that's happening? It's a very interesting question. So, God, my guru, and his guru is Paramahansa Yogananda, he says he's always broadcasting a program. And the program he's broadcasting is Satchidananda. Yes, the material world is real. Yes, my body, my ego, my responsibilities, my love, my fears, all of that's also, that all that is really happening. But it's only the facade over a much deeper reality. And that much deeper reality is that we are all divine souls on a long journey. And this life that we're living, we must commit ourselves to it. We are responsible for our part in it. We have to do it as well as we can. But it's a chapter in a much more interesting adventure. I remarked to my friend that if I and my peers, if we looked outwardly as different as we are inwardly, we would look like aliens from some world that nobody had ever even thought of. I mean, compared to the majority of people on the planet. Everybody is following their destiny in their own way. But there comes a certain point when you've taken that dial, and I remember as a child, I would move that big dial, and I remember this when I was the same height as the radio, so that must have been when I was about 5. This is my most vivid picture of this, as I was eye to eye. I wasn't leaning over. Eye to eye with that dial, with that those choices, and I would spin it back and forth until I found something I wanted to hear. And so we go through many incarnations and we just keep spinning that dial back and forth and we take all the choices. We take cultures, we take languages, we take countries, we take I'll be a victim this time and I'll be a perpetrator this time. I will test out negative possibilities. I will learn the folly of negative action. I will suffer for my wrong actions. I will learn, and then I will gradually tune myself in to the single broadcast I want to hear, which has to be heard, as Swami says here, in super consciousness. It's not the obvious one that just flows out and anybody can pick it up. You have to really take that dial, that inward dial, and say, what am I going to listen to? And you know, it's a shift that comes like this. People say, God, what are you doing? Why are you doing this to me? Or you say, God, why are you doing this to me? And same words, but it's a total revolution in consciousness. So Swami says, tune your mental radio. God, my guru used to say, is like a radio station. His programs are broadcast on the wavelength of super consciousness.
Our work is made possible by inspired listeners, so if you feel to support ASHA, you can make a one-time donation, or for unique members-only content, subscribe through Patreon. Blessings and thank you.